Well, it's good to see everybody out to home group meeting tonight in year 2013. This is January 2013, and it's been a little while. We had the home group meeting in December, and then we had Pastor Peter here, and it was so good seeing Pastor Peter and Helen. And so we're going to get back into the pathway to the heart of the Father, and that's prayer. And tonight what I'd like to do, before I get going, I'd just like to thank everybody again for coming out tonight. And it's kind of interesting. Last year we finished with over 85,000 hits on our website. Over 85,000 hits, and we have a new webmaster, and it's called By His Design. And they are doing an excellent job. They made all the updates and stuff to the website, as I found out. Everyone is up to date. And this year, in 2013, January, we have over 10,000 hits already. And we still have about 7 or 8 more days left to go in the month. And it's just amazing how people are finding Beyond His Glory online. And the emails that I get is really great. So I thank everybody for all of the online looking and everybody is doing it. So it's a real blessing. So anyway, let's go ahead and let's kind of look at some things that we looked at a while ago. Just kind of jog our memory and get our heart moving back in the right direction. And 3 points that we looked at from part 5. And the first point is, if God cannot get us to become givers, then He cannot use us. If God cannot, giving into our hearts, if God cannot make us givers, then He cannot use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service. And I will tell you, that is a very difficult thing in God, and that is to allow God to work in our life and give us and make us givers, because our nature is to want to get. Our nature is to want to get. But that's not what God wants to work in our life. He wants to work His love and His mercy and His grace and all of these things, and so we will just give beyond ourselves. As the church at Ephesus said that they gave beyond their means, and it was just that's what God would want to do in our life. The second point I would like to get our spirit pointed back down range to. What we're talking about is we cannot love unless first we have learned to give of ourselves to a great degree. We will never ever learn how to love the way that God loves until we first give of ourselves to a great degree. The more that we give of ourselves, the more we will able to love our brothers and our sisters, the more we'll be able to love one another. But the more that we can, that we can give of ourselves to a great degree, not a little degree, but a great degree, the more God will be able to work His love into our life. And the last point is a very, very important point, and that is God is looking for a correct response from us. God is looking for a correct response from us based on not what we can do, but what He has done in our life. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship. We are His Baustelle. That's a German word for work, for workplace, for workmanship. So God is looking for a correct response in us to different situations in our life based on not what we can do, based not on our abilities, based not on all of those things that we, all those strengths and stuff that we have. No. But God is looking for that correct response from us based on what He has done, based upon the work that God has done in our life. But those were three very important points that we looked at in part 5 of the 9-part series. And tonight what I would like to, go on and look at part 6. Amen. We need this work of God constantly in our life. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint. Now how can we do that? How can we pray all the time? How can we always pray? Well, if we're always praying, we're not eating or working or living. So it can't be that that model of prayer, we think, you know, we get on our knees and we pray and, you know, whatever that. So there has to be something more there than what Jesus is talking about. And there is, you know. It says that He, Jesus, means always, and He means that. Just like we have a life of breathing, we must also have a life of praying. Our life should be a life of praying. Not praying always like that, but prayer should constantly be coming out of us and going out to the Father. Do not try to move yourself to the next prayer pattern. Now, you know, there are different prayer patterns in our life, and we've looked at these before. Yeah, so do not try to move yourself to the next prayer pattern. The next prayer pattern, it does not work that way. Being faithful in duty prayer, and duty prayer is like praying over food, praying one for another, praying before you go to bed, all of those things that we do in prayer out of duty, right? Being faithful in that will move us on to that next prayer pattern. And the next prayer pattern is a prayer life. And that prayer life is when we spend time alone with God and we allow the Lord to minister to us and we minister back to the Lord. And so the more that we're faithful in duty prayer, praying over food, praying for one another, doing all those type of duties and prayers, we will be then greater into that prayer life. And that will lead us to the next, into the next prayer a pattern that God wants to take us to, and what Jesus was talking right here, and he said we ought to always pray, and that is a life of prayer, where our life just becomes one prayer open to the Father. And I have a question tonight, and I want you to think about this. And what is after that? We have duty prayer, we have a prayer life, and we have a life of prayer, where prayer constantly comes out of us 24 hours a day. There's a prayer that comes out of our heart up to the Father. And what is after that? Well, I do not know. I do not know what's after that. Maybe we will find out, you know what is next after a life of prayer in our next life. Because remember, we are qualifying for things now on earth into the things that we'll be doing in our next life. We're being approved, you know, as Karen says, this is boot camp. We're going through boot camp. We're learning those, the way the Father functions and operates so that we will be useful in the next life. We're being trained now for the next life. And what will the next life entail with prayer? I do not know. Paul tells us to continue, as a continual direction. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. How can we do that? God will put things in our hearts so that we can carry them with us until God gives us the understanding. This is how we can do that. We can have that prayer that's coming out of us in our heart. God will put things in our hearts so that we can carry them with us until God gives us the understanding. And that is what Paul was talking about right here. We can carry those things, the things that God puts in our heart. We can carry them until God, or what Paul calls that pure science, 1 Timothy 3:9, that pure conscience of the mystery of godliness, 1 Timothy 3:16. Amen. We can carry them into our heart. We can carry them in our heart until God gives us understanding, until things happen to our understanding and we come to realize, and things will just function and they will work out. And that's just the way that is. That is how we are to pray without ceasing. And that is, God drops things in our hearts and we meditate on those and we just think about that and we just allow the Holy Spirit just to kind of work into us until we come to that understanding. There are things now that I am holding before the Lord, that I have held before the Lord for years. There are. There's just things, and I haven't shared them with my wife. There's just different things that I've held before the Lord, waiting for things and looking for things. And in God's time, He will reveal them to me, and then I'll be able to move in that understanding. Until then, we do not need to know everything. We do not need to know everything. Christians are terrible in this area. Christians want to know everything. They think that they have to know everything or they won't do anything. A lot of times God will have us to do something, and then He has an intention for us to really do this, but He has us do this, and if we do that, then He knows that we can do this or that. God will have us do things so that we will not necessarily know what's going on, but we will do things and He will see if we can handle this responsibility or that responsibility. And if His intention is to pass in a huge church, but unless you learn how to scrub floors, unless you learn how to be a servant, then you could never ever be a big pastor of a church. And so we don't need to know why God wants this or that in our life. All we need to do is just be obedient in that and allow the Lord to work that into our life. Amen? A lot of Christians really miss out and, God, why are you doing this in my life? Well, God, if He told you, I want you to pastor this big, huge church one day, yes, I'm ready to do that. Well, no, that person's not ready to do that. That person needs to first learn how to be a servant. Then after he's a servant, then he can start moving in those things. But we do not need, and we do not need to try so hard. When God shares something with us, we just need to relax and just go along for the ride. We don't need to have all the answers. No, we don't. We do not need to think, and we do not need to think about it so hard. Okay, well, God wants this to do this, or I'm going to pray for this, or I'm going to pray for that. No, that's not what God wants. Remember, Paul talked about that pure conscience. Just allow God to do the work in us. He understands, and we do not. And all we need to do is just surrender ourselves to His work, and He then can bring it all to pass, not to us. And things we don't understand in God, and this is important, things we do not understand in God, we are not supposed to think hard about it or try to make it happen. No. All we need to do is just surrender ourselves to whatever God is doing in that situation. Whatever God is doing in that situation, we just need to surrender ourselves to that, and He will bring that situation to pass, or to an end, or whatever. And that way, we will not do that. We get out of bounds so many times when we try to do things for God, we try to make things happen for God. No. What we need to do in areas we do not understand why this or that happened, we just need to surrender ourselves to what God is doing in the situation and let Him do the work, and He will bring it to pass. The more we surrender in our lives, the more work of God will be in our lives. Now, I like that so much, I'm going to say it again. The more we surrender in our life, the more the work of God will be in our lives. We can go only in God and do things in God only as far as our surrender and dedication will take us. So the more we surrender to what God is doing in our lives and in a situation, the more we can do that, then the more God can move in that situation. Amen. Very, very critical point. You'll probably see that point next month, or hear that point next month, because that is such a pivotal point in our lives. Often most Christians get into trouble trying to bring things to pass for God. I don't know how many things that Christians have spoke for God for. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and God told me to do this, and God told me to do that. Well, in reality, God didn't tell you that. You want to do that, and you want God to sign up for that. Well, God doesn't do that. God does not sign up for our mistakes. If God wants you to build a church, then He's going to tell you to build a church. If He doesn't want you to build a church, then you just need to, just be faithful in your prayer pattern, and just be faithful to the work of God in your life. And if God wants you to pastor a church, then He will go ahead and He will make all that happen, and you will pastor the church. I was so amazed in Germany. I had no intention to pastor a Christian look at my Stuttgart. I had no desire to do that. All I wanted to do was love my family, be the best naval officer at U.S. European Command, and God had other intentions. God had other intentions. But the more that, the more I did those things just by loving my family and just working, I could see God arranging things and making things happen, and then we ended up, pastoring a big church. That's the way it works in God. out from our surrender. Amen. We do this in trying to, we often do this in trying to save people. Do you know that you cannot save anybody? We cannot save anybody. The only people that are saved according to the Bible is the person that is drawn by the Holy Spirit. But we sign people up for salvation and we try to talk them into it and so forth and so on. Well, that's not the way that works, right? God knows the time and the season. He knows when this person is to be saved. We press on for our own time and our own season. Well, I got to get this person saved. The time is drawing close and the Lord may return, so I got to get all my family members saved. And you push and you push. You try to choke down that last bit of truth in your family members and they spit it out and then you have problems and there's just evilness in the family and strife and bitterness. I know, I've done that before. But that's not the way it works. What we're supposed to do is just be that salt and light before our family members. We're supposed to stand firm on the Word of God, stand true, speak up for righteousness, and be righteousness. But we don't try to get them saved because we can't do that. We want what we want and when we want it. That's a part of our character, but that's not how God operates. So often we cannot wait for God. He is too slow for us. But God will teach us to wait. God will teach us to wait for Him if we allow Him to. Yes, God will teach us to wait. Wait, wait, wait. We're not very patient. We're not very patient. A good way to find that out is all you got to do is go get in line in a grocery store. Or at, you know, Food Lion or commissary or whatever. Just get in a big line. And the longer you wait, the more impatient you get. We are not very patient people. And I promise you, God will teach you, if you allow Him to, He'll teach you to be patient. Our wants in and out of God get us, and most often others, in trouble. Let me say that again. Our wants in God and out of God gets us, and most often others, in trouble in God. We need to learn how to wait and just relax. We just need to wait and just relax. God teaches us, as I said, if we allow Him to. He teaches us to wait, believe it or not, by failures and loss. By failures and loss. Well, why did I fail? Oh my gosh, I don't believe this. You know, I failed in this great loss, you know. Well, that's two of God's biggest tools in our life in teaching us to wait is through failures and loss in our lives. A tough method indeed, but a sure method nonetheless. God uses failure and loss in our life, and He teaches us to wait. He teaches us to wait on Him. This way, we won't get ahead of Him. We will just, we do it ourselves, and we try to make it happen, and we fail, and God said, no. And just wait, David, just wait, and allow me to kind of, you know, pull things together, and the next time, the Lord will come through, and good things will happen. God uses failure and loss in our lives to teach us to wait. Very, very valuable lesson. Jesus goes into the wilderness to pray. I always found that very, very amazing. The wilderness is a good place to learn how to wait. It's a good place where the Lord will take us to pray, and it's a good place to teach us to wait. Now, a lot of people look at the wilderness and being a hard time and not very spiritual, and it's dry, and you just can't touch the face of God and all that stuff. And they say the wilderness is a bad place. Well, not so. Actually, the wilderness is the making place in God where we learn how to wait. We learn how to lean upon Him, and we learn how to hear His voice. You will not hear God's voice in a time of plenty and grandeur and everyone patting you on the back. And, you know, you will not hear the Lord's voice in a mighty service of the Spirit. No. I promise you. In the wilderness, you will hear the Lord's voice. You will hear the Lord speaking to you. The wilderness is a great place to pray. Jesus always went there. Anybody that ever amounted to anything in the Bible, any person, any character, Paul, Jesus, I mean, anybody, Moses, David, anybody that ever was really used of God spent some time in the wilderness. And if Jesus went to the wilderness, is the servant greater than the master? I think not. The wilderness is the place that we're all headed to. It is a great place to develop a communion with God. The wilderness is the place when we learn how to commune with God. You can't commune with God if you have all kind of other kind of voices and all kind of people and the chatter of life and all those good things. You won't have a heart for communing with God. But I promise you, when you can get alone with God, when you can get in some tough times and some difficult times, I promise you, you'll be able to commune with God. When it seems like you are all alone and no one understands, no one understands what you are doing. And when you tell them, they seem never to have the right answer. That's the wilderness. That's the place where God wants to get you so He can work His understanding in you, so He can give you all the answers. They can tell you exactly what is wrong, but they cannot touch you. The wilderness is the place where the Lord can touch our heart. The wilderness is the place where the Lord can touch our heart. Jesus left the 99 sheep in the wilderness when He went after the one, when He went out looking for the one. I always found that amazing in that parable. Jesus didn't take the 99 sheep and put them in this well-watered valley, this green, you know, clover place. It was just wonderful, you know, the sheep could just eat their fill. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the shepherd took the 99 sheep and He left them in the wilderness, because the wilderness is a place that gets our attention. It's the place that makes us faithful to God. It's the place that keeps us moving in the right directions, you know, that we need. It's the place that keeps us on our knees. It's the place that keeps us humble, and it keeps us on track, and all of those things. Why? Because God has allured you into the wilderness to get us alone. Why would God want to take us through the wilderness? So He can get us alone. Wow. Can you imagine God wants to allure you to get you into the wilderness? God brings us there alone with no answers. All we have is problems and questions and all of these things. And so we come and we have no answers. Away from the crowds and the masses of people, there in the wilderness, God can give us His answers. God can give us His answers. Not some answers, because I promise if you go after answers, you're going to find them. If you go looking for answers and you go talking to man, then you will get answers of man. But those answers usually aren't the right answers. But if God can get you alone in the wilderness in these tough times, then He can give you His answers. If we have the answers, then we do. If we have the answer, then we do not need to, you know, learn to lean on Him. So many people will, well, I have this problem, I go to this person, and I go to this person, and I go to that person. I got an email from a brother overseas, and he said, well, you know, there's some things happening in our life, and I want somebody to go ahead, if the Lord speaks anything to them, to go ahead and, you know, share it with us. And I emailed him back and said, that's not good. I said, to be careful. If the Lord, you know, you don't want to hear what the Lord is telling this person for you, that's not the way God operates. If you are in that place in Him where He wants you to be, then God will speak to you directly. You know, we don't want to be able to hear from God through somebody else. That's dangerous, and you really, really get in trouble. But God will take us through some difficult times in the wilderness so He can speak to us. Song of Solomon 8:5. I really like this verse a lot. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Wow. The wilderness is the place we go to so we can learn to lean upon our beloved. Our direction is prayer will lead us by the way of the wilderness. Let me say that again. Our direction in prayer will lead us by the way of the wilderness to be giving answers and to learn how to lean upon Him. That is the reason why we go through difficult times, hard times, dry times, times that we don't understand, confusing times. The Lord is leading us in that direction so that we can get us alone and give us the answers. The purpose of the wilderness is to learn to lean upon God and get the answers. Because only when we lean upon God, only when we hear from God, then we will have the answers. Amen? He knows everything. We do not need to know everything. So now we can rest in Him, not knowing. God knows everything. He has all the answers. Now we don't need to know everything. Knowing everything is not that important. So now we can just rest in Him, not knowing Him. I don't need to know everything because I know God and He knows everything. And we can trust Him and His wisdom for our life. The wilderness is a great place to learn how to have communion with God and to learn how to pray. What a wonderful place. I promise you, if you go through tough times, dry periods, and etc., you will learn how to pray. You will learn how to pray. You won't need to say, "Good Master, we see John taught the other disciples to pray. Can you teach us to pray?" Well, I promise you, my friend, if you're a Christian and you go through some very, very difficult times, some very, very pressing hard times in your life, and God taking you to the wilderness, you will learn how to pray. Amen. God will have to keep us in the wilderness for a time until He gets us over complaining. One of the first things that happens to us when we get to the wilderness oftentimes in prayer is we start complaining. So God will have to keep us there. You know, the easiest way out of the wilderness is learning, is leaning on God and giving what He has for us there is so that we can get out. The longer that we complain, the less time we will spend on hearing from God and we'll extend our time in the wilderness. You can ask the children of Israel that. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. And what did they do? They complained and they murmured and they just, "Moses, why did you bring us to the desert to die? At least we have the flesh pots and the leeks and the melons in Egypt." And they complained and they complained. Right? Well, God will have to keep us in the wilderness for some times until we can get over complaining before He can teach us learn how to trust Him and to be quiet, to know Him and to walk with Him. So He will lead us to the wilderness to teach us in the wilderness the way to pray right, to learn, and that prayer leads to communion as we've looked in the past. All of our prayer should lead to communion in God. So He brings us to the wilderness so that we learn how to pray right in that communion. We do not need blessings. We need God. Oh, wait a minute. That's heresy. Oh, Brother Dave, you're talking heresy here. We need to be blessed so we can bless others. No, not true. We do not need to be blessed. All we need is God. It is true we give not to get, but we give so that others may, so others may receive. But we do not get blessed because we need blessed. No. We do not need a blessing. All we need is God. I hope you see that tonight. Amen? I see a lot of heads bobbing. Okay, good. We do not need all of these blessings. What we need is God. The one who we are dedicated to. The blessing and such, these are byproducts. The church, really needs to learn that blessings and nice cars and houses and big ministries and all of those things, those are just byproducts. They're all byproducts. Blessings. Oh, bless me, bless me, bless me. You know, it's not bless me, it's bless God. The more we bless God, the more God will give to us. And in this learning process in the wilderness, He must strip us sometimes of things. Wow. We must be stripped. Now, how many Christians will praise God? I want to go to the wilderness so I can learn to lean on the Lord so that He can strip me of things. Not too many Christians want to be stripped of things because the mentality in the church today is give me, give me, give me. I want more of God. I want more of this and I want more of that and I want more of all these things and more, more, more. Add. No. It is a decrease. We must decrease. He must increase. So if we go to the wilderness, we must decrease. And for us to decrease, He must strip us of things. Because we seem to want what He gives us and not Him. I'm going to slow down there for a second and let that thought sink in. And in the leading process in the wilderness, He must strip us of things. Because we seem to want what He gives and not Him. The church goes after what He gives. Spiritual blessings, physical blessings, houses, cars, all that good stuff. We go after that. instead of Him. So God has to strip us in these hard, difficult times in our life to teach us to go after His beloved, to go after Him. The more we can be stripped by God of the world and ourself, ouch, the more we can be stripped by God of the world and ourself, the more of God we can have. How about that? The more we can be stripped by God of the world and ourselves, the more of God we can have. The more of the blessings, the byproducts, we can have. How about that? The more, because actually the more God will be able to trust us with. You know, we always got to remember this goal, the goal in our Christian life, and that is not to become rich and famous and powerful and the best preacher and have the biggest ministry. That's not what God is trying to do in our life. God is trying to do in our life is to conform us into the character and the image of Jesus Christ. That is His goal. He's trying to make us rich and popular and famous and that stuff. He's trying to conform us in the character and image of His Son. And He can only do that, believe it or not, when He strips us of things. When He strips things away from our lives. Things that we allow Him to strip from His lives. Because then He'll be able to work in our life. When He can strip things away from us and we can experience loss, then He can fill the loss in our life with a part of the life of God that He has. Amen? When we can experience loss in our life, when we can allow God to strip things in our life and we're experiencing that loss, then God will fill that loss with more of His Spirit and His nature and His character. We never lose. We always win when we allow God to work in our life. We then learn when we pray and keep things getting worse, we must resign ourselves to the situation by resigning ourselves to trusting God in this situation. I don't know how many times there are people say, well, I prayed and it hasn't changed, and oh my gosh, I keep praying and nothing happens. Okay, here's the answer. We then learn when we pray and things are getting worse, we must resign ourselves to the situation by resigning ourselves to trusting God in that situation. So tonight, if you're listening to me over the internet, and situations in your life are not getting any better, it's getting worse and worse, and what have I done? Relax. Go along for the ride. But resign yourself into trusting God in that situation. God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't need to know. I don't need to understand. But Lord, I'm just going to resign myself. I'm just going to resign myself. Taking my hands off. Lord, I'm going to give it to You and let You take control in this situation. I resign myself in this, and I'm going to allow You to do it. No longer do we want to get the monkey off of our back, as they say. We say, okay, God, I'll give Your monkey another piggyback ride around the track. Oh, Lord, get this situation off my back. You know, Paul tried that. He said, oh, Lord, you know, three times Paul prayed to take the thorn in the flesh out of his side. Three times he prayed. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. And Paul said, yes, Lord. And he endured that thorn in the flesh probably the rest of his life. He resigned himself to the truth and to the fact that God knew what he was doing. And he was in control. And so Paul said, okay, fine, Lord. I won't let that thorn in the flesh leave or endure that thorn in the flesh. And that's the way it was. The only way to get to my cup runneth over is by the way of the valley of the shadow of death. We always want to have our cup running over with blessings and stuff like that. But actually, that comes by way of the stripping of things in your life in the valley of the shadow of death. We need to be content to trust Him in the valley, in the situation, without crying to Him for deliverance from the situation until we are at home in the wilderness. We as Christians should learn to love to go to the wilderness and go through these times where God can strip us and build in us more of His character and His nature. And we won't spend all of our time in the wilderness, I promise you. No. There will be times that you will be, not in the wilderness, but there will be times when the Lord wants to teach us things. He will take us to the wilderness so that He can strip us and develop a loss in us so that He can fill us more with His nature. Even the valley of the shadow of death should become home to us, to where we wouldn't be moved and we wouldn't be afraid. We then learn who God is. I promise you, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you will learn who God is. You will see God. You will see God. He'll become very, very clear to you when you're on death's door. Funny how that operates. When we get all the distractions out of our life, we then learn to see who God is. God teaches and trains us who He is by delivering us from different situations and circumstances, even if there's no deliverance. Wow. Isn't that interesting? Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross. Three Hebrew children went to the fiery furnace. Daniel went to the lion's den. All of these people, they weren't just delivered from that, but they were delivered as God developed them. Our deliverance comes not by God's magic wand, but by walking in these making places, like in the wilderness of God, where we can be developed unto deliverance. Unto deliverance. If God has to deliver you, if He has to go ahead and pick you up and plant you in some other field, don't think that you have won. You have not. You have not. If God cannot teach you how to pray, if God cannot bring you into some very narrow and difficult places, if God cannot take you to the wilderness so that He can work on your life, then believe it or not, God can't use you. And if He has to keep delivering you again and again and again because you refuse to allow God to work in your life, He will deliver you. He may pick you up and put you in a separate field, but He will only do that because He knows that the work of God that He has purposed and planned for your life is in jeopardy of being lost. God wants us to go through difficult things in our life. And He knows if He can't get us to go through difficult things in our life, then the work of God that He needs to happen in our life is in jeopardy of being lost. And He will pick you up. But I'm going to tell you, you're coming back around the mountain. You're going to come back around the mountain. You're going to see it again and again and again and again until God can work that understanding in you to the point that you'll be able to, as I said, give God's monkey another piggyback ride around the mountain. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You, Father, tonight for Your love and Your mercies, Father, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. Father, Lord, I thank You for the Word that goes out over the internet, Father, Lord God. Lord, You know that's not my favorite way of sharing the gospel message, Father, Lord, but, I know it should be 1-1-1, and Father, Lord, I'm just thankful, Father, Lord, though, that the people are listening and around the world that hear it, Father, Lord, and that are responding, and I just thank You for that, Father. Lord, this is a strong word tonight. Hold it near to our heart, Father, Lord, and we just thank You and we praise You, Father. Lord, let this word just go out and minister to different people's lives, Father, Lord, God, and Lord, help us to be conformed into that image, that wonderful image of Jesus Christ, dear Lord. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.